Good morning, and welcome to this service for Sunday the 26th of April from Wallington and St Andrew's Cheam United Reformed Churches. Our service this morning is led by our minister, the Reverend Craig Bowman.
Wherever you are and whoever you are, welcome to our worship on this, the third Sunday of Easter. One step starts us on our journey. God's people on their pilgrimage, following where the resurrection leads. One step brings us alongside the risen Christ, who speaks to us and sets our hearts on fire. Come, let us worship God who meets us where we are. Come, let us worship Jesus who knows and understands us. Come, let us worship the Spirit who helps us in our need. Our first hymn is, "Were You There When They Crucified My Lord?" Let us pray. splattering the black blue night with the twinkling stars and spinning fluffy clouds out of the fabric of your hope, you raised creation out of chaos, gracious God, giving life and calling it good. Walking with disciples down grief's lonely road, you sang of how God had raised you from the dead, so that listening they might believe, believing they might understand, understanding they might obey, going forth to invite all to follow you, bread of life, to feast on your love forever. Reaching out your love to us so we would touch others, filling us with your gifts so we could be a blessing to the world, piercing our darkness with hope so we might bring healing to the broken, you raise us to new life, Spirit of God. We become comfortable, joyous God, with our lives, with our faith, with our friends and family. We are secure. Your gospel jars us with your hopes for us. We know we should tell your story, but doesn't everyone who matters know it already? We could invite others to your table, but then we might have to share. We could welcome the strangers, but worry they might feel uneasy amongst unfamiliar faces. Forgive us, God of Easter. Walk with us so we can become companions to the lost. Welcome us so we can include the hopeless and the homeless. Love us so we can share that love with everyone we meet on our journey as we follow Jesus Christ, our Lord and Saviour, into life with you. God loves us so much. God will listen to our cries, our prayers, our hopes, and our dreams. God's promises are for all, those who are right beside us, as well as those who live on the other side of the world. What can we give to the God of grace? We will lift our hearts to God, giving thanks for the mercy that has been given to us. Thanks be to God. Amen. And we join together in the Lord's Prayer in its traditional form. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen.
How do we recognise people that we know? How do we know it is them, so we can say hello? Maybe it is their face, the colour of their eyes, the shape of their nose, their mouth or their ears. Perhaps it is the colour of their hair or how tall or short they are. It could be the way they smile or frown. If we can't see them, it is probably their familiar voice on the phone. Sometimes, if all we can hear is someone's voice, we get it wrong and mix them up with someone else. Identical twins can be a bit tricky to tell apart. Have you ever played the children's party game, Blind Man's Bluff? It goes something like this. One person is blindfolded and usually turned around and around so they are a bit dizzy, and then they have to reach out and try and grab hold of someone and guess who that person is. Maybe it is possible to guess by someone's laugh or by touching their hair. Another party game I used to play when I was a child was Squeak Piggy Squeak. Everyone sits down in a circle on a chair and one person stands in the middle, blindfolded, and the music is played. When the music stops, that person has to sit down on someone's lap and then say, "Squeak, piggy, squeak, squeak, squeak." They then have to guess their name. It's quite difficult to guess sometimes. Do you ever forget what someone looks like? Maybe if you haven't seen a family member for a while and their hair has grown long or they've had it cut quite short, or even made it a different colour, you might not instantly recognise them. But but it only takes a few seconds before you do. Perhaps over the last few weeks, someone has grown a beard. Or when you see a friend, when you go back to school, they will have grown taller. But they will still look like themselves and you will still recognise them. Ask someone to get out the baby pictures of the family and see if you can recognise your granny or granddad or mum and dad when they were children. In the Bible, we know that Jesus had many special friends who spent lots of time with him. They knew him very well and would recognise him when they saw him coming towards them. Isn't it strange then that when the two women, both called Mary, saw Jesus in the garden on Easter day, they didn't at first recognise him and thought he must be the gardener. They didn't realise that it was their friend Jesus who had risen from the dead. Later on, Jesus met two travellers as he was walking down a road. They were two men that knew Jesus. He talked to them and they heard his voice, but they just didn't recognise him. How strange was that? Not to know and recognise their friend Jesus. Did they have their eyes closed? We don't know what Jesus looked like. We can only guess, because there were no cameras and no one painted his picture when he was alive. Lots of people have tried to imagine what he looked like since, but we just don't know. Jesus wants us to open our eyes and see him properly, and to really get to know him by reading our Bibles and speaking to other people about him. He wants us to recognise him and to love him. Even if we can't actually see Jesus, we can still sense his presence in our lives. We can catch a feel of his love for us from others, in the love and care of our parents, our grandparents and our friends, and sometimes from those we don't know. Think about all the wonderful care given to sick people by doctors and nurses, and by neighbours helping out their neighbours. Let us open our eyes and see Jesus. Let us talk to him in our prayers every day and really get to know him.
Our second hymn. Give me joy in my heart. Keep me praising.
Sing hosanna. This reading is 1 Peter chapter 1 verses 17 to 23. You call him Father when you pray to God, who judges all people by the same standard, according to what each one has done. So then, spend the rest of your lives here on earth in reverence for him. For you know what was paid to set you free from the worthless manner of life handed down by your ancestors. It was not something that can be destroyed, such as silver or gold. It was the costly sacrifice of Christ, who was like a lamb without defect or flaw. He had been chosen by God before the creation of the world, and was revealed in these last days for your sake. Through him you believe in God, who raised him from death and gave him glory. And so your faith and hope are fixed on God. Now that by your obedience to the truth you have purified yourselves and have come to have a sincere love for other believers, love one another earnestly with all your heart. For through the living and eternal word of God, you have been born again as the children of a parent who is immortal, not mortal.
Thanks be to God for this reading from his holy word. Amen. This reading is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24, verses 13 to 35.
On the road to Emmaus. Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but they didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels, who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see Jesus. He said to them, 'How foolish you are, and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?' And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he were going further. But they urged him strongly, 'Stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over.' So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, 'Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?' They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, 'It is true. The Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon.' Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. Thanks be to God for this reading of his holy word."
Doubt and disillusionment, discouragement and despair. These are emotions that are common to all of us at some point in our lives. Loss of a job, loss of a loved one, divorce, illness, even the loss of a pet, any of these things and more can throw us into dismay and fill our hearts with anxiety and fear. We think that things will never be right again. Especially in the middle of the night, things seem at their worst. We forget that there ever was a thing called hope, and all that we have learned about God's saving grace is nowhere to be found. If ever we knew how to call upon God, it is now only a distant memory from a better and happier time, and even when we need God the most, we turn our backs on God and walk away. That's exactly the situation in which we find Cleopas and his companion in today's Gospel reading. Followers of Jesus, they had believed in the new life he had promised them. Their hearts were filled with joy and anticipation as they looked forward to hearing more of his word and to being witnesses again and again to his good works, to his miracles. Fed in body, mind and spirit by their fellowship with Jesus and with other believers, their lives had become filled with a new joy, and even all that they had to give up to follow him was as nothing compared to what they now had. They thought it would go on forever. But that was then. Two disillusioned, defeated disciples are walking to Emmaus. Christ has been crucified. The show for them is over. Their hopes are literally dead and buried. Disaster and defeat. Where will they go after Emmaus? Who knows? Maybe they don't even know themselves. Their lives and hopes are in ruins, and any plans for the future have not just gone on hold, but have been ripped up and thrown away. Now all their hopes and dreams were as dead as Jesus. The events of the past few days, ending with the crucifixion and burial of Jesus, had beaten every last shred of hope from them. They thought there was nothing left but to get out of Jerusalem and go to another place, perhaps to pick up the pieces of their former lives and begin again, to turn their backs on all that had seemed so expectant and hopeful, and walk the 7 miles on the road to Emmaus. Jerusalem is the holy city. Remember Palm Sunday. The disciples had come there with Jesus with deep faith in God and God's Christ and in the power of God and God's Christ to heal and save the world. They are part of something wonderfully bigger than themselves, and they come with promises of undying commitment and a high expectation of God's goodwill being done in the world through Christ and through them as his disciples. Now, after the defeat and demise and internment of Jesus on Good Friday, Emmaus becomes their plan B. A place of doubt and disillusionment, of shaken faith and weakened commitment, of a more limited view of what the earth is to be and of their role in it. It seems as if nobody really knows where Emmaus was. 7 miles from Jerusalem, but in which direction? We don't know. Just like we don't know the name of one of the two disciples travelling there. Perhaps Emmaus is their hometown, and they're going back to pick up and put back together the pieces of the life that Jesus' message of the kingdom of God encouraged them to leave behind. Probably they will never forget Jesus and what he taught them. Probably they will still try to put into practice what they learned from Jesus about being kind and loving, about being nice people and good neighbours. But when they get there and find shelter in their own little space, never again will they give themselves as fully as he asked to the life, the truth, the hope, and the way of the kingdom of God on earth. So they start out, the two of them, talking as they went and going over and over the same ground, as if saying it one more time would change the outcome. Don't we all do that? If we've lost something, don't we keep revisiting the same spot, thinking that if we go there often enough, the lost item will miraculously appear? As they do this, a stranger meets them on the road. It is Jesus, but their hearts are so full of defeat and so devoid of faith that they do not recognise him. What's more, when the stranger asks what they are talking about, they cannot believe that he doesn't know all that has happened. Where has he been? You can almost feel the heartbreak in that silence. You know what it's like? That moment when your grief is interrupted by a question. What is it? What's wrong? They must have been surprised. That's how they sound. Are you the only one who doesn't know? And so they tell it all once more. They even tell him about the empty tomb, how some women had seen a vision of angels who said that Jesus was not dead but alive. But still, they said to the stranger, no one had seen him, so perhaps the women had just heard what they wanted to hear. We had hoped, they said. We had hoped. Was there ever such a depressing thought expressed as their words? We had hoped. When they had finished their side of the story, the stranger rebukes them. Weren't you listening when he told you how all of this must come to pass? Don't you know how, from the beginning of time, the prophets have foretold exactly what has just happened, that the Messiah must suffer before he enters his glory? And then, as they walked along the way, the three of them, Jesus opens the word to them, interpreting the scriptures. Then Jesus makes as if he is going on, but they prevail on him to stay. Stay with us, because it is almost evening, and the day is now nearly over. So he went in to stay with them. And you know the rest of the story. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. But they had seen him. They had seen him. The broken-hearted, the slow of heart, the ones who could not see him, their eyes were opened in the breaking of the bread. Of course they hurried back to Jerusalem to tell the others. It's such a simple, elegant story, fewer than 500 words. A straightforward tale of two nobodies on the road to nowhere. Two people, one Cleopas, the other, who knows? Two people walking along the way on the first day of the week. To have heard this story for the first time back in the first century, what an experience that must have been. There may have been some in the community who actually had seen him, who had met Jesus and talked to him, heard him preach. Maybe there was someone who had been healed by him, blessed by him. Perhaps there was someone there whose mother had carried them to Jesus, who'd been taken in the Lord's arms and held on his lap. So they gathered with the others on the first day of the week, like Cleopas and his companion, to share in the breaking of the bread, the prayers and the scripture. They gathered with the expectation of meeting the risen Lord. They were called the people of the way of Jesus, the crucified one, who rose from the dead. It's what we were before we began to be called Christians. People of the way. People who have hope. See, that's how it happens when people meet Jesus on the road. You know the story. They had hoped, but they had not seen him. So they walked along the road, their steps heavy with sadness. The road to Emmaus is the road you walk when you leave your job, personal effects in a bin bag or box, not knowing where you will go next. The road away from the doctors, where you have just heard terrible news about your health or that of a loved one, is the road to Emmaus. The road back from the front door, where you have just found a Dear John letter, is the road to Emmaus. You are getting ready to set out on the road to Emmaus when the graduation ceremony is over, economic times and job prospects are uncertain, and you live under the shadow of a student loan. The road out of the graveyard, where you've just buried someone dear, is the road to Emmaus. They had hoped. They had hoped for things to be different. For the promotion that was promised. For the marriage to work. For the addiction to be conquered. For the diagnosis to be wrong. For the prognosis to be better. For the promise to be kept. For the love to be returned. They were broken-hearted. And they stopped, looking sad, when he came alongside them and asked them what was on their minds. They were searching, fleeing that city of empire and death, trying to go back home again, thinking they'd be safe if they could just get away, thinking things might make sense if they could only have some distance. But home would never be the same. And only Jesus could make sense of things for them. It was the first day of the week, and they were together, and they asked the stranger to stay, to eat with them, and the scriptures were read and interpreted. And then the table was set, and the bread was there, and he took it and blessed it and broke it and gave it to them, and their eyes were opened. And their hearts were broken open. In their small act of hospitality, they opened the door to grace. In their willingness to welcome the stranger, they met the risen Lord. In the simple gift of bread, they received the hope of new life. And in the moment of recognition, they knew that they had to hurry back to the city, to tell the others, to share the good news. Our eyes have been opened. It's such a simple, elegant story. A straightforward tale of two nobodies on the road to nowhere. Two people. One Cleopas, the other, who knows? Maybe you. Because now you know the way. It's a door we open by sharing in the prayers and the fellowship. It's a recognition that comes in the breaking of the bread. We encounter the risen Lord and walk in his way. It's a way we make by walking together, not away from the trouble, away from the mess, but back into the city. Back to the struggle, back to the community. All along that way, our eyes are opened. And when our eyes are opened, we realise that our work has new meaning. That Jesus is present even in our pain. That our relationships can be transformed. That healing involves something more than a cure. That God's promises are certain, and God's love never fails. We are people of the way, following in the way of Christ, a bunch of nobodies on the way to nowhere. It looks like a dusty road away from the city, but it turns out that it takes you right back to the heart of everything. Thanks be to God. Our next hymn. Your words to me are life and health.
We turn now to our prayers of confession. Loving God, for countless generations, people of faith have come to you in prayer, seeking your protection for those they love. At times, people of faith have also asked you for your Holy Spirit to prompt, urge, and warn those in positions of power, or those who have a particular responsibility towards others. At this time of global pandemic, it is right that we spend time thinking not of ourselves, but of those we would bring to you in our families, in our communities, and across our world. Lord, we ask for your blessing on all those working in health and social care, putting themselves at risk in order to help others. In particular, we pray for staff in care homes who are poorly paid and, in normal times, poorly appreciated by society. As they spend their days offering kindness and simple human compassion to some of the most vulnerable, give them strength and renew their sense of purpose. Lord, we also pray for those who work to ensure we remain safe, fed, and connected at this time of uncertainty. We pray for lorry drivers delivering food and supplies. We pray for companies making the protective equipment that is needed in huge quantities in our hospitals. We pray for supermarket staff who now provide a rare point of friendly human contact for the lonely and the isolated. We pray for those who labour to keep our electricity, gas, water and communication systems running. We commend their work to you and ask you to bless them. Lord, we pray for young people full of enthusiasm and hope for the future, whose lives are being put on hold because of the coronavirus. We bring to you those small children who cannot understand why they're no longer allowed to see their friends. We bring to you those teenagers who would have been doing exams, but whose grades are now to be decided in other ways. We bring to you those young adults who were excited to soon head off for gap year adventures or university, but who are now forced to wait, unsure of what the next few months will bring. We ask you to wrap them round with your love and assurance. Help them to see that this uncertainty may be with them for a season, but that you still have plans to prosper them. Lord, it is easy for us to focus even more narrowly than usual on what is happening just in our own country. But we must pray too for all of those who are working in countries that do not have strong healthcare systems and economies, countries that were already suffering from drought or warfare or social unrest. Strengthen with your mighty hand all those who are working to bring peace and comfort in these places. Lord, as we look to the future, we see glimmers of hope that one day life will return to normal. We pray for all those who are trying to find our way out of this crisis, those who are developing vaccines, searching for effective treatments, and developing technology that will help us track and suppress the virus. We thank you for their skill and pray that you would give them insight and wisdom as they bear this great responsibility. And finally, Lord, we pray for ourselves. We remember that Jesus gave us one simple command, to love you and to love our neighbours as ourselves. Never has it been clearer, as Jesus demonstrated in the parable of the Good Samaritan, that our neighbour is anyone in need. Help us to show your love to others in every practical way we can. And if we are tempted to fall into apathy or pessimism, lead us back into your ways. At this time, and for as long as your will for us remains, may we be people of hope, light, and life. And all of these things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Our next hymn. I want to walk with Jesus Christ all the days of my life.
I want to walk with Jesus Christ all the days I live of this life on earth, to give to him complete control of body and of soul. Follow him, follow him, yield your life to him. He has conquered death, he is King of kings. Accept the joy which he gives to those who yield their lives to him. I want to learn to speak to him, to pray to him, confess my sin, to open my life and let him in, for joy will then be mine. Follow him, follow him, yield your life to him. He has conquered death, he is King of kings. Accept the joy which he gives to those who yield their lives to him. I want to learn to speak of him. My life must show that he lives in me. My deeds, my thoughts, my words must speak of all his love for me. Follow him, yield your life to him. He has conquered death, he is King of kings. Accept the joy which he gives to those who yield their lives to him. I want to learn to read his word, for this is how I know the way to live my life as pleases him in holiness and joy. Follow him, yield your life to him. He has conquered death, he is King. Accept the joy which he gives to those who yield their lives to him. O Holy Spirit of the Lord, enter now into this heart of mine. Take full control of my selfish will and make me wholly thine. Follow him, yield your life to him. He has conquered death, he is King. Accept the joy which he gives to those who yield their lives to him.
Lord God, you promise to be our fellow traveller through life and to meet us in the face of friend and stranger. We confess that we are lost if we do not walk this road with you. We are not made to be without your company on the journey. Lord God, make us ever aware of your missing presence and draw near to us. Help us to see you in the faces of the friends and strangers that travel with us. Help us to hear you speaking words of peace and unfolding your truth from the Bible. Help us to welcome you into all our conversations and into our homes. And the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be upon us and those whom we love, this day and evermore. Amen.